Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 31. Today's date, February 21st. In today's podcast, we'll do something different here. With us coming out of the All-Star break and games starting on the 22nd, let's reset the odds. We'll look at Eastern Conference or Western Conference win totals I like, team or two to come out of the East and West, and then we'll go through some major awards who I like. Not the Defensive Player of the Year, not the Rookie of the Year, because those odds are way too far gone. Obviously, with Gobert and Wembanyama leading the pack. And then we'll end it with the Cleveland Cavs all-time lineup. And welcome to this podcast. Let's get started with the Eastern Conference, folks. Right now, if you look at the East, the number one team in the East is the Boston Celtics with a record of 43-12 right now, followed by Cleveland with 36 wins, Milwaukee 35, Knicks with 33, 32 with Philadelphia, 31 with Indiana, Miami, Orlando with 30 each. And I want to stop there because I want to look at the win totals, right? So as we get down the stretch for teams anywhere between 25 to 27 games, let's look at some of the win totals. And I want to pull it up and I want to focus on two of them today. Number one, we'll look at Milwaukee and then we'll look at Orlando. If you look at Milwaukee, their win total is third in the East with 15.5 wins. I'm going to go over with this, and here is why. Doc Rivers is 3-7 to start the year, his career, I should say, with Milwaukee. And this is a team that needs to kind of get going here. When you start to pull up Milwaukee's schedule, I know they have the third toughest schedule according to Tankathon, but I believe they only have three back-to-back games. Now, the big thing with Milwaukee, there's a West Coast trip where I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's Denver, the Clippers, the Lakers, and I think the Kings, if I'm not mistaken. A four-game West Coast trip that could decide to go over-under. The key with that trip, folks, is none of them are back-to-backs. Now, a team like Milwaukee needs to play better down the stretch. And they're going to try, and they're going to try and chase Cleveland. Now, obviously, Cleveland's got the way easier record. That's why their odds are better to win the division. But I wouldn't sleep on a Milwaukee Bucks team with a lot of pride with Giannis Antetokounmpo, Damian Lillard, and a coach that I've gone after that's a lot to prove, and Glenn Doc Rivers. I do think they're going to go over 50.5 wins because I think there's pride on the line, and this team has to get going in order to make a run, in which to them, they got to make it to the NBA Finals or it's a bust season for Milwaukee, even with Doc Rivers coming in midseason. The other team I want to focus on real quick is your Orlando Magic, a team that overachieved early this year, has slumped off, but then ended coming into the All-Star break with 7-3 record. Their over-under win total, folks, is at 45.5 games. And the key reason why I like this so much for a team like Cleveland, folks, is Cleveland's got the easiest schedule left in the NBA this season. And with me, I think you got to look at winning somewhere between 46 to 47, 48 games to be a top six seed possibly in the Eastern Conference. So to me, with the fact that they have the easiest schedule, they play Detroit twice, they play Washington once, three times they play Charlotte, once they play Portland, twice they play Toronto, once they play Memphis. This is a team that wants to get into the playoffs with a young core led by Paolo Banchero. I think it's important for them to get over 45.5 wins. I think they do it because also, folks, they don't want to end up in the play-in tournament. That's the key. I know people have talked about it like, you rest your guys. No, you don't want to be put in a situation, folks, where it's one or two games where you don't play well and you're out. You want to be top six, especially a team like Orlando with that easy schedule. They're going to want to go top six. Let's go to the Western Conference here and look at the win totals or the records, I should say. First off, in the West, right now the number one team would be Minnesota with 39 wins. Oklahoma City, one game behind in the loss column, 37 wins. 36 for both the Clippers and the Nuggets. 33 for Phoenix, 33 for Pelicans, 32 for Dallas, 31 for Sacramento, 30 for the Lakers, intriguing, 27 for Golden State. But I want to focus on a team in the 11th slot, and that's the Utah Jazz. Their win total, folks, at 37.5 games. And when you look at the schedule, they have the fourth toughest schedule left to go in the NBA. And folks, remember, this is a team that overachieved last year and then went 8-14 down the stretch. Danny Ainge values draft picks and a full rebuild in a team like Utah. So with a team with a tough schedule that's got to play the Celtics, twice the Timberwolves, once OKC, once Cleveland, two versus the Clippers, two versus Denver. Teams also have to play for. But even the fact they got to play the Houston Rockets three times, a team that I think is going to make a push to possibly get in there. And I do want you to maybe look at maybe them as well, the Houston Rockets, their win total over. But right now, under 37.5 wins for Lauri Markkanen and the Utah Jazz. Let's go big picture now. Let's head to the Eastern Conference. And now let's look at who I like to win the East and who's my sleeper. To win the East, it's pretty obvious, folks. It's Boston. It's plus 110. It's near even money. They're the best team in the NBA. They've played the best. They have a 26-3 home record. They have their struggles on the road, but I still say they have their struggles on the road, and they got the second best record in the Eastern Conference on the road at 17-9. So how big of a struggle is it for Boston right now on the road? But when you look at this team, with the play of Tatum, with the play of Jaylen Brown, with the infusion of Porzingis and Drew Holiday, the maturity, I would say, of Joe Mazzulla as a head coach as we look at Jason Tatum, right? And obviously Drew Holiday. Yes, they are front-loaded. They picked up Xavier Tillman at the deadline, which I think was a sneaky good move because I think they need a little front court depth because you guys know I always get concerned with Al Horford and his age. But without a shadow of a doubt, if you're not picking Boston to win the East, you got to get your head checked. And I know it's even money and it's not a great value, but it's something to take a look at. As for my sleeper team, don't think I'm biased. Folks, it is the New York Knicks at plus 650 with a record of 33-22. And remember, folks, they're coming into the All-Star break limping, losing four games in a row. But Hartenstein's back at practice. He may play tomorrow. DiVincenzo's back. Randall is closer than we think. OG should crank stuff up soon. Mitchell Robinson should be back sometime next month. And what that gives the Knicks, folks, is that gives the Knicks depth. And the Knicks team, folks, that has more depth than I would say any other team in the NBA. Now, listen, they don't have a top 10 player in the league. They don't have a top 15 player in the league. You would argue, is Jalen Brunson or Julius Randle even top 25 in the league? I think Brunson is creeping up there and maybe could be in the top 20. But where they beat you, they beat you with their depth, and they beat you with their defense. And the key thing is, folks, is with the trade of OG Anunoby coming to New York, right, you have more guys with Anunoby, with DiVincenzo, with Bogdanovich, with Burks. You can stretch the floor, driving lanes for Julius Randle, driving lanes for Jalen Brunson. But the big thing, two big things. One, the depth doesn't mean that Tibbs doesn't have to play his starters 40, 45 minutes, right? You have all these guys coming off the bench with Tibbs. Here, obviously, there's a picture here of Tibbs with OG Anunoby. I haven't even mentioned a player like a Josh Hart, right? Quentin Grimes has got moved. Isaiah Hartenstein, who should stay in the starting lineup for the Knicks for the remainder of the season, even when Mitchell Robinson comes back. Folks, the Knicks are in play here to possibly win the East. It's about matchups. And I will say this. Unless Joel Embiid gets healthy, the only team I really, truly believe in a seven-game series that can beat Boston, it's New York. The crazy thing is, the way Randall is in the playoffs, they could also turn around and lose to anybody in the first round. Let's move on to the Western Conference here, and let's take a look at two teams. Number one, I was all off of the Clippers when they got James Harden. But then something clicked the beginning of the new year, and they have the best record in the NBA since January 1st. Why, folks? It's because Kawhi Leonard is playing like the Kawhi Leonard we know, right? And now PG-13 slides into that number two spot, right? And then you get Harden as your three. So now you have a big three of guys that, ready, folks? I think know their role. You add the fact you have Tyronn Lue, who's one of the best coaches in the NBA, right? So you got guys that are sliding into their role. But it's more than that. They have one of the best guards off the bench, and Norman Powell will give you 13.4 points per game. Ivaka Zubac still giving you 11.9, 9.5. And then there's Russ. At times, we've said it. Let Russ cook. But Russ is cooking in a different way, and that makes him good. Don't only sleep on the play of people like Trey Mann. They're getting Plumlee back. Daniel Theis. They got other guys that are back there. So don't sleep on them to – I shouldn't say sleep. They should be the favorites to win the Western Conference. My sleeper, you're not going to call him a sleeper, but the odds say so. Excuse me. Is Phoenix at 8-1, 33-22 record. This is a team is – the reason why they're a sleeper, folks, is they're fifth. But they also have the toughest schedule left in the Western Conference. Actually, the toughest schedule in the NBA. And they're at 8-1. But when you look at this team with what the talent they have, with Bradley Beal accepting his role as the third, I guess the third piece, I guess you would say. When you look at a player of the acumen of a Kevin Durant, if you look at a Devin Booker, right? You look at Frank Vogel, someone that's won a championship. They got enough pieces to get it done. Now, as you look at KD, the concern you have with them is the depth, right? But in the trade deadline, they kind of addressed some of this, right? They still have Eric Gordon. They went and got Royce O'Neal. They got Eubanks at serviceable minutes, right? They have Okogie. They got Thaddeus Young. They picked up. They got enough guys where they can make a run. Key, can they stay healthy? They stay healthy, they could be a sleeper. Let's move on to the individual awards, and let's run through these really quickly. Let's pull up the MVP odds where Nikola Jokic is a minus 125. Obviously, we know because Embiid is not going to make it, right, with the games. My pick is SGA plus 210 with a sleeper of Jalen Brunson. Shop around, folks. I've seen 80-1. I've seen 100-1. I've seen 600. Like, shop around. Shop around, right? You're going to find different deals at different books, and it's going to move, folks. But you can't mistake the play of Jalen Brunson, who has been absolutely fantastic for this New York Knicks team. A New York Knicks team that, it's funny, folks. I was listening to him. He was doing an interview. I think it may have been with Matt Barnes. I just saw a couple of hours ago. And think about the fact that Dallas could have had him for 4 for 55. And they wanted to play it out to the point where he outplayed that contract. And Jalen Brunson, who is having a career year, who has ascended himself to, I would say, one of the two or three best point guards in the league, 27.6 points, 6.5 assists. Team playing phenomenal basketball, 84% from the line, 41% from three, 48.3% from the floor. Jalen Brunson, it's my sleeper to win the MVP, but to me, it shouldn't go to Joker. I think there's voter bias. I would go with SGA. Let's move on to six-man award and Tim Hardaway. Now, obviously, Tim has had himself an up-and-down career. Tim can always score. Timmy can always score, right? And he's a different player than his dad. He Big Tim, Dad Tim was a point guard shifty. This guy is more of a bucket getter. But you can't mistake the fact of what Tim Hardaway Jr. has done this year for the Dallas Mavericks at scoring 17.3 points per game as a career high. Now, listen, he's shooting it a little bit worse. Actually, his field goal percentage is the best, better than last year, 41.4%. He's shooting a little worse from three, 88% from the free throw line, 3.6 assists, right around, a little bit over his career average. So Tim Hardaway's had to step up because a Dallas team that's lost bench pieces like a Spencer Dinwiddie, like a Christian Wood, like a Jalen Brunson over the years, Timmy's had to step up and be that third guy. And to me, he would be my pick for sixth man of the year. Let's move on to most improved odds. And this is one that I'm going to go with the favorite, and that's Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey has been absolutely fantastic. He's ascended his game to a top 30 player in the NBA. He is scoring at a ridiculous rate. His usage rate is up. The ball is in his hands. He's able to do more, and that offense is running through him and Joel Embiid. And with Joel being out, he's had to step up. Tyrese Maxey getting you about 25.7 points per game, 6.4 assists. But if I had a sleeper, I'm going to go with Alperen Şengün, a.k.a. the Turkish Treat. Alperen Şengün is getting you 21.2 points per game, 9.1 rebounds, 5 assists. Only player giving you 29.5 besides Alperen Şengün, Nikola Jokic. Not even a guy like Sabonis is giving you that, because Sabonis also gets you about 19 points per game. And Şengün has been absolutely fantastic. If you just think about his career, folks, right, he has gone this year from 14.8 to 21.2 points per game. Now, his rebounding is up only 0.1, it's at 9. His assists have gone from 4 to 5, right? So when you look at it, Alperen Şengün, 10-1, should be a sleeper to win the most improved player. Let's end it on coach of the year. Very close race, right? I'm going to go with Chris Finch because I think they're going to get the number one seed. And I think coming into this year, based off of last year, Mark Daigneault and what he's done at Oklahoma City, I think there was a little bit more of an expectation here. And remember how it was so bad last year with Minnesota. Like, people thought that Chris Finch was going to be out of a job, right? And what he's done with this team has been absolutely fantastic. And getting them to be the best defensive team in the NBA, and I think they will end up with the number one record in the Western Conference. If I had a sleeper, here we go, New York bias. I know he's won it before. Tom Thibodeau at 25-1, what he's done with the Knicks. I was one of those people that last year, even going into this year, saying, if it didn't work in New York, Tibbs was gone. And Tibbs has evolved. And that's the thing people need to realize. He's evolved. He's changed his coaching style to meet what he has. I will say this. If Tibbs can find a way to get the Knicks rolling again as everybody comes back, folks, they are going to shoot up the Eastern Conference standings. They're at 33 wins. I think the Knicks have a chance to maybe, folks, ready? You think I'm crazy? They could get all the way to two. It is not out of the question. Let's end today's podcast by going over the Cleveland Cavaliers, a team that's played really, really well with Donovan Mitchell. And let's look at my bench all time for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's start with Terrell Brandon, Hot Rod Williams, Kevin Love, one of the greatest names of all time, World Be Free. Yes, folks, that was his name. Well, after you change it, of course. And then the big Z, Zydrunas Ilgauskas. Now, we talked about Terrell Brandon a little bit, because Terrell Brandon, remember, folks, last week was on Minnesota. But, folks, he started his career in Cleveland. Two-time All-Star, 1992-93 All-Rookie team. Scored about 13 points a game. I think about 7, about 5 assists per game. Got better when he left and went to Minnesota, but still a really good underrated point guard in the mid-90s. How about John Hot Rod Williams? Now, there was also a guy named John Hot Plate Williams. Now, this is different. This is Hot Rod. Hot Rod, tall, athletic, bouncy, underrated defender, 86-87 All-Rookie team, was part of those really good Cleveland teams in the late 80s, early 90s, when he played John Hot Rod Williams with a couple of other guys that are on this list. Next up, he was the first team for Minnesota, second team here, and that's Kevin Love. Five-time All-Star with Cleveland, 2016 NBA champion, two-time All-NBA, most improved, currently playing back again with the Cleveland Cavaliers in his second tour of duty. K. Love, I don't want to get into Kevin because we've already talked about him last week with his play in Minnesota. At the guard spot, World Be Free. Only played 4 or so years in Cleveland. And one of the more underrated scorers of the late 70s and early 80s, World Be Free could go get himself a bucket. Don't get it twisted. Y'all may not have heard about World Be Free, but World Be Free was a prolific scorer in the NBA and when he played with Cleveland from 1982 to 1986. At the center, the big man, Big Z. So Drunas Ilgauskas was part of the center of those great Cleveland teams that had LeBron James. Underrated center, 13.8 points per game, 7.7 rebounds, 1.6 blocks. This was close here. Two-time All-Star, All-Rookie team, 1997-98. Drunas Ilgauskas by center off the bench. And let's get to the starting lineup for the Cleveland Cavaliers. At the guard, I'm going to go with a two-point guard system here. We're going to go with Mark Price, Kyrie Irving. At the forward, LeBron James. Larry Nance, who I believe was on our list, if I'm not mistaken, for Phoenix. And Brad Daugherty. Now, let's start with Mark Price, one of the most underrated players of his generation. 17 points per game, 7.8 assists, 41% from the three-point line. Four-time All-Star, four-time NBA out of Georgia Tech. One of the best pure shooters in the history of the game. Like, I guess a good way to look at him is maybe like for the younger generation, like maybe like a Steve Nash, like a younger, like an older version of Steve Nash. Not as shifty, but really good, really great scorer. Speaking of shifty, Kyrie Irving, Lord have mercy. I mean, I don't care what people say about him, about some of the stuff he says. I've met Kyrie. I found Kyrie to be a very great guy, but my man, he could score. Eight-time All-Star, 2016 NBA champion, and the one that took the big shot to win the title when he had LeBron. Three-time All-NBA, Rookie of the Year. And one of the reasons why LeBron came back, and I know he's had his stops afterwards, you know, with Brooklyn and Boston, and now he's in Dallas, but Kyrie Irving, when he came out of the league, was fantastic. At the small forward, all hail to the king, LeBron James, 20-time All-Star, four-time champion, MVP, Finals MVP, arguably one of the greatest players of all time. I'm not even going into his accolades. Y'all know about LeBron. I'm not going to spend it because I could be here for 40 minutes talking about LeBron. At the power forward, Larry Nance, three-time All-Star, three-time All-Defensive Player, part of that team with Brad Daugherty, who we'll talk about in a second, with Mark Price, with Craig Elo, with Gerald Wilkins, part of those great Cleveland teams of the late 80s, early 90s, and they just could not get over the hump with when you had to deal with Detroit, when you had to deal with Chicago, right? When you had to deal with Boston, you had to deal with those teams. It was hard. Atlanta was good back then. The Knicks had a good run for a couple of years when Patino was there. Lastly, at the center, Brad Daugherty, one of the more underrated players in his generation because of the fact that people will talk about Brad because of all the centers, the Olajuwons, the Ewings, the Robinsons, the Shaquille O'Neals, the Robert Parrishes. None of people talked about Brad Daugherty, five-time All-Star from North Carolina, 1991-92 All-NBA. Funny thing, Brad Daugherty does stuff, I think, and for a while for ESPN, he did NASCAR. Interesting enough. So that is my lineup for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Thanks for watching episode 31 of this podcast. For all things basketball related, well, forget basketball, every sport, just download the Sports Grid app, iOS, Google Play Store. It's your one-stop shop for all things sports gambling. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the best in the business. Folks, we'll be back next week with another Betting Above the Rim podcast. Shout out to Matty George, my producer that kills it as always. EJ, Vinny, helping out with the graphics and the B-rolls. We'll be back next week. Let's go with Oklahoma City Thunder. All-time starting lineup. Matt, I just changed my mind. We're going to go with Oklahoma City since you're at the top of the bracket. Thanks for listening for this podcast. I'll be back next week. Remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.